Whatever you wish. Is that Gib Lewis's picture?
It is, sir.
Oh, that was Gib.
Classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic picture.
Yep.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pressler. My name is Leigh Wilburn. I'll be interviewing you today. Could you please state your full name for the record?
My full name is Herman Paul Pressler III.
Wow. But you just go by Paul Pressler.
In the 1930s, when I was born, Hitler was coming to power in Germany. Mm. And you did not use first names like Herman or Adolf or
wasn't very popular.
Wasn't popular at all.
Okay, so sir, the purpose of today's interview is to get your thoughts and to get your sage wisdom so that we can pass it on and memorialize it for the current and the future members. So it's not to put in the statesman or put out there and incriminate anyone, send anyone to jail. So please be as open as possible and feel free to share as much as possible. So just to get started, what got you your start and what sparked that interest in being a public servant?
My family have all been very active in politics. The Towns family was my mother's family, and her ancestor fought in the War of 18, well, the Revolutionary War was a major in it, his son was a major in the War of 1812, mm-hmm. and a member of the Virginia legislature, and then they moved to Alabama in 1817, and he was a member of the Congress that organized the state of Alabama. A member of the group that organized the State Baptist Convention.
Wow.
And was a member of the first Alabama legislature.
Wow.
Then his son, my great-great-grandfather, was a judge in North Alabama, came to Texas and was a member of the Texas legislature in 1859. And then he was a major in the Confederate Army. Mm-hmm. And then he came back from as a major in the Confederate Army and died from things that extreme problems that he got
from
during the war.
Right.
And then his son, my great-grandfather, was a district judge out in San Saba for all West Texas. Then he was a district judge in Georgetown. And then he was asked to be the founder of the University of Texas Law School.
Wow.
And he was dean from 1898 until 1923. And so I had some little bit.
Just a little bit, yeah, just a little bit. So it was in your blood, sir. So when you were in high school, did you know that you wanted to follow in those footsteps?
Or? I was told I wanted to.
Oh, I got you. You're voluntold. I understand that very well. And so from there, when you went to college, did you start to get involved in student government at any? Or
some student government and all sorts of political organizations.
Very nice. Okay, and so what were the issues of the day that really sparked some passion and interest in you that you wanted to take up you came to the Texas legislature?
Franklin Roosevelt was president.
Yes, sir.
And he started a very liberal tendency in government, tried to pack the Supreme Court, and did several things like that my family were horrified about. So I wrote my senior thesis at Princeton on the Texas Regulars Political Party, mm-hmm. which I've subtitled The Beginning of the Republicanization of the State of Texas.
Very nice. You probably coined that term.
What?
You probably have coined that term.
Maybe so, I don't know.
Very nice. Okay, but so your first campaign, how did that go? And what prompted you to run on the platform and everything that you did?
I was always conservative. I always had strong convictions. And my father didn't think I'd done well enough in law school. So he, fathers are fathers. Oh, I was in the top 25, 30% of the class.
That's amazing.
But that wasn't in the top 10%, which or 10 people, which he said I had to be. And so he said I had to do something to put me ahead of the general rank and file of law school. He mm-hmm. said, you need to work for the district attorney's office, or you need to work for the attorney general's office. And I said, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm going to run for the legislature. And he said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You couldn't be elected, and it's just going to be awful for you. And so that was all I needed to persuade me to run for the legislature.
But I know he helped you in your campaign. I know he was proud to see the name on the signs.
He and my grandfather, Towns, both got very involved.
Right.
And I won. It was in the Democratic primary. Mm-hmm. And I got a majority over five other candidates mm-hmm. in the first primary.
So what were the areas that were in your district?
All of Harris County.
All of Harris. That's a huge county.
They had not redistricted after the 1950 census.
Wow. Okay, so when you came into the legislature as a freshman legislator, what was your big issues that your constituents wanted you to champion during that first session?
I guess the New Deal.
Okay.
And Franklin Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. And here we were all Democrats.
Okay.
But I wouldn't vote for Roosevelt. So.
Okay, and so how would you describe your first term as a freshman and the camaraderie and the things that you saw there coming from?
Very interesting.
Okay.
Very active. Greatest people in the world. Most all of them are dead now, but they were just my friends all of their lives. And they're just fabulous people.
And so what things did you see that you expected, and were there any things that you saw that you didn't expect?
I expected some comradeship, but not as much as I had. Mm-hmm. I expected some hypocrisy, mm-hmm. but not as much as there was. There were just a bunch of things that I found to be much more extreme than I thought it would be.
Right. How was your relationship with the speaker during that session?
Well, Price Daniel was governor, mm-hmm. and I'd known Price for a long time and really liked
him. How did you know the governor?
He was a friend of the family.
Oh, okay.
And he had run for election for various things. Mm-hmm. And then Wagner Carr was speaker, mm-hmm. and Wagner and I became good friends. Mm-hmm. And so I had good committee appointments, did a good bit. I wasn't like a new member of the legislature that never met anybody.
Right. So you were natural as soon as you came in, you already knew everyone.
I knew a bunch of people.
The important people.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you came and you were in that last 30 days of session, did you have any issues with the pressure or trying to fulfill promises? Or
I went to law school the first couple of months of the session.
Oh, wow.
To finish it up.
So you were 3-0 in your first session?
I was what?
You were a third-year law student in your first session. Wow.
And then we got that all finished up. Mm-hmm. I took a course in legislation for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I took a course in office practice for a couple of hours. I did things that didn't require me to be there all the time, and I made an agreement with my legislation professor at law school that he'd tell me what bills he was interested in, and I'd keep him informed in that, and he'd take care of my absences.
Wow, very nice, very nice. Okay, so sir, after, what was the, describe your transition from the legislature as a state representative to being a judge in Harris County?
Well, towards the end of the semester, I got a call from Judge Elkins. He said, I want to see you. Well, I knew him real well. I was dating his granddaughter. So I went there as I hightailed it as quickly as possible. And so he said, you're doing a good job in the legislature. I want you to work for me. I said, well, Judge, I would be very honored to. He said, you've got a wonderful mother, pretty good father, much better mother than father. Tell him I said so. And said, come back and see me in 1 week. So I came back to see him in 1 week. And he said, you start on January the 1st. You report such and such, and you do such and such.
And so you became his law clerk?
Judge Elkins? I was dictation number 158.
Wow.
So I wasn't his law clerk. Uh-huh. And so I had offers from two other major law firms I better not mention, but you'd know them.
Right.
And what do you do when Judge Elkins tells you you're going to report such and such, and you're going to do so?
You say, where and when?
I said, yes, sir. Yeah. And so then he decided he didn't want me to continue in politics. And then he decided that he wanted to send me to Chicago because it was this office he had that was furthest away from Houston, and it would break me from politics. So I reported to Chicago on the 1st of January, 1958.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you do in Chicago? You just worked in one of his offices there?
I met Nancy.
Oh, that's the best part about it. That's the best part
just
of the story
wonderful.
Right there.
Just wonderful.
And how many years have you all been together?
58.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations.
We met on September 9th, was it?
You remember the day?
It's September 9th, 58, and we were married February 28th, 1959.
Oh, that's pretty quick.
We celebrated the six-month anniversary of having met the end of our honeymoon.
So then
Peter is a cousin.
Okay.
We haven't met till today. So this is kind of interesting to you because you don't know any of it.
You're learning a lot. You're learning a lot.
His grandmother was at our wedding.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Okay, so how did you get from Chicago back to Houston?
Oh, that was the deal the whole time. I'd be up there for a couple of years.
Okay, so you spent 2 years.
Come back to
that he was with Vincent Elkins' law firm.
Okay.
And so they transferred me back to the Houston office.
Gotcha. Okay. And so then when you got back, how did you transition from there to being a judge?
Well, I was there 12 years. I'm working for a wonderful man, Mr. S.S. McClendon, Jr. And it's just boring practicing law with a big firm. And Preston Smith had been state senator when I was in the House. And the state representative from Lubbock, where Preston was from, was Doc Blanchard. I don't want this to go very much in the record, but let's just say Doc wasn't there every minute of the time.
Right, I got you. I got you.
So
we can read between the lines.
So when Doc was playing golf, then I took care of everything.
That was official business, sir. That was official business.
Wanted.
Okay.
So.
Oh, wow. Okay. So when you were in those other arenas, did you ever reach back to any of your colleagues here in the legislature or any experiences that you had here?
Oh, yeah. Well, Preston, you see, I knew through the legislature.
Right.
And Nancy and I kept up with a lot of, what did I do? Nancy and I kept up with a lot of couples that were in the legislature. Although she hadn't known them when we were in it. But I was just the backbone of our best friends.
Right. So you see, you're very, very well-rounded. You've done it all, sir. So in the current legislature, do you follow Texas politics, or are you removed from it now?
I always follow.
Okay, I just had to check. I just had to check, sir.
I don't know whether I told you that my great-great-grandfather was in the Texas legislature in 1859.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that you still follow politics, what are the issues that you see now that are the hot button issues? I know this past week we had one, of course, but with your sage wisdom, what advice would you give the current legislators for the issues?
I'm very much for House Bill 6.
Okay.
And I think it would be tragic if it were not passed. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing I've been talking to people about it.
Absolutely.
And then I helped young friends who are running for the legislature. Mm-hmm. And I have a number of young friends that are in the legislature now.
Okay.
They're real good people.
Right.
Making, I think, a very successful mark on Texas politics.
Right. Okay. So is there anything that I haven't covered that you wanted to share, that you wanted to give it as far as advice or?
I guess my thing I'd share is don't let anybody intimidate you. If you think that's what God wants you to do, go ahead and do it. And if you really got a strong conviction about doing something, do it. And don't ever get into a race to lose.
Right.
And if you're going to run, run as hard as you possibly can. I've never lost a race.
And what do you attribute that to, sir?
Working.
Okay.
And.
But you must be putting in some special work, because there's a lot of people I've heard that they work and they don't win. So what is work and what? Family, tenacity, God, what is your recipe?
You just get in there and get your friends to help you.
Right.
I taught a Sunday school class at Hyde Park Baptist Church, mm-hmm, here in Austin, mm-hmm, when I was in law school. Mm-hmm. And I never thought of this, but it just so happened that I had students in the class from all over Harris County. Well, they became my basic campaign organization. And they really did a good job.
Wow.
So and they were too young to vote?
But they were on the campaign.
Yeah, I'll give you one example. I had a friend, Robert Holsenbach, who was from Baytown. Baytown was a labor town at that time, and it always voted for the liberal candidate. I did not have the AFL-CIO or NAACP support, and usually that was about three-fourths of the vote in Baytown. So Robert's father was doctor down there, Dr. Joseph Holsenbach. And Dr. Holsenbach and I were good friends, so Robert spent two or three days taking me to every major business in Baytown. Mm-hmm. And I was not Paul Prester, a conservative running. I was Paul Prester, Dr. Joe, and Mr. Roberts' friend,
right,
that was running. And I carried Baytown with about 65% of the vote.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the issue was not a political issue.
Right.
But it was the type of person you're electing.
Right.
I made an impression on all three newspapers.
Post, the Chronicle, and who's the third?
The Press.
The Press, okay.
And I got the endorsement of all three papers.
Wow.
Which was the only one in Harris County that year who got all three endorsements.
I can imagine, wow.
And Margaret Davis was the editor, was the writer for the Press. And she was hard-nosed. And Margaret and I became close friends. And she wrote editorials endorsing me.
Wow.
One of the wonderful statements she gets said after the election, she said, if Paul Pressler isn't the only Phillips Exeter, Princeton University cum laude graduates in the legislature, then you've got to explain to me what happened. So, you know.
Right. So, sir, is there any sage advice that you would give now as a parting,
closing? Be honest. Okay. Be open. Don't shilly-shally around. Just tell them where you're coming from, who you are, and what you believe in doing.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Sir, it's been an honor and a pleasure.
Can I just say a couple of other things?
Yes, ma'am. He left some things out.
Yeah. Tell about the political conventions in 1948, is it?
48. Well, honey, that was 8 years before I was. No, it was.
But it's just an interesting fact.
Well,
please share, sir.
This is in my senior thesis at Princeton,
okay,
which was 1951. I wrote it in 51. I graduated in 52. But Joe Ingraham, who was a lawyer in Houston, later on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, took me to the Republican National Convention. And he had me elected honorary assistant sergeant in arms of the Republican National Convention. My father was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. So he took me with him, and he had me elected honorary assistant sergeant in arms of the Democratic Convention. Mm-hmm. Now my candidates, I was for Taft at the Republican Convention. Mm-hmm. I was for Ben Latham, who was governor of Arkansas, for the presidential nomination against Harry Truman in 48. I think that's what it was. And my father had me elected honor assistant sergeant arm. So, and my grandfather was a very close friend of Strom Thurmond and Fielding Wright.
Wow.
And so he helped organize the States Rights Party. And so he decided to bring it to Houston. They asked me to organize the ushers and the sergeant-at-arms of the States Rights Party's National Convention. Mm-hmm. So I was an officer of all three presidential conventions in 1948, whose candidates received electoral votes.
Wow.
And I don't think anybody else has done that.
That's history. That's amazing.
But I try to be nice to people. I like people, and I don't. I just don't want to get into too many hassles.
Right.
One other thing might be some of the bills you helped sponsor when you were in the legislature, such as the Astrodome.
Wow. Oh, yeah, to issue the bonds to build the Astrodome.
Wow.
Another one was Uniform Gift of Stock to Miners Act, so that you could give stock to a miner, and House Bill 375, I think it was, and just name a nominee and you didn't have to go through creating a trust or something.
Oh, wow.
Like that. It was a good bill.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one story about how the legislature operates. There's no reason to be opposed to that bill. It was just kind of an oversight. So I proposed the bill, and it went through the House with no opposition. And Bill Moore, the bull of the Brazos, was state senator from Bryan College Station. And Bill came over and said, Paul, I like your bill. May I handle it in the Senate? I said, Bill, that's fine. I'd really appreciate it. Well, nothing happened for about a month. And some Cersei Bracewell came to me and said, Paul, your House Bill 375 or whatever it was is in trouble because my good friend, he was Lieutenant Governor, Ben Ramsey.
Okay.
is mad at Bill Moore, and he's not going to let him pass anything this session. And so if you want your bill to be passed, then you better do something. So I went over during the lunch break and saw Ben Ramsey's secretary. I said, and she said, no, he's out and he's in a meeting and he's gonna come back and he's gonna call the Senate to order and then he doesn't have time to see you today. I said, well, just tell Ben I came to see him about House Bill 375 or whatever it was. And about 15 minutes, in comes Bill Moore. He said, Paul, I don't know what's going on, but Ben came back from lunch, didn't say anything to me, called on me and to present your bill, and we passed it 28 to nothing.
Oh, wow.
So I just thanked Bill for the wonderful job he done in getting it passed, and he never knew as long as he lived why it passed.
Right.
But that's the way we did things back there.
Absolutely.
A lot of congeniality.
That's a good way to do it. Is there any other stories that missed loose rounds? Okay. Well, sir, it's been an honor and a pleasure again.
It's a real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.